Hello and welcome to the Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week, a sharp focus on the bond market. Alan Greenspan has recently warned of a bubble that is set to burst. Could the former Fed chair be right? His worries extend from real long-term interest rates, which he thinks are unsustainably low, to an imminent period of stagflation. Our expert panel will run the rule over these issues and assess whether or not Mr. Greenspan is worrying unnecessarily. We start with Pim Fox, anchor of Bloomberg's Taking Stock programme. We put it to him that Alan Greenspan thinks there's a bubble in the bond market. Does Pim think he might be right?
I confess I put this into the category of if you predict it will rain, eventually you will be vindicated. And so can you make this case that the bond market is overheated, that people have been buying bonds with yields that make no sense? Yes. Can you make the case that governments like central banks, like the ECB, like the Bank of Japan, that they will continue to buy bonds, which means that there's always a ready buyer? Yes. Can you also make the case that assets are too expensive and that even though in most places around the world they have very low inflation, which would indicate that you're not going to invest in something that doesn't, you know, really give you any yield, so you're going to go and look for more risky assets, and therefore you end up adding to your portfolio all these things that you don't know about, like junk bonds? Yeah, you can make the case for all of those things, but from my perspective, that doesn't matter. That's like discussing whether the world is really round or pear-shaped. I mean, it is what it is. And if you're looking at yields on U.S. treasuries that are like 2.8% for 30 years, I mean, you got to wrap your mind around it. What you're basically doing is you're loaning your money to the U.S. government for 30 years, and you're willing to take 2.8% over that whole three-decade period, and you're willing to own that particular asset. The reality is nobody knows, right? Nobody knows. Nobody knows if it's a balloon that bursts or whether it's a balloon that has a slow leak. We have the most recent tensions in North Korea. What does that do? That prompts people to get scared and express their fear and anxiety by going out and buying U.S. Treasury bonds because they're considered a very safe investment. What do? They go out and they buy gold because, you know, end of the world, tin hat scenario, you need your gold in order to buy a loaf of bread. I mean, all these things are possible, and yet, you know, one of the things I think that Alan Greenspan, with all due respect, I mean, he is going to forget more, you know, in one bath than I'm ever going to know. The fact that he keeps saying this undermines the credibility that the condition actually exists.
So could that condition exist? Greenspan certainly thinks so, but is he right, according to UBS rate strategist Francesco Mandola?
Well, actually, it starts from the observations that it's true that extraordinarily low long-term bond yields puts us outside the range of historical experience, actually even beyond the remarkable age of Mr. Greenspan. A couple of observations about the bond market bubbles. So, first of all, bond market crashes have been rare and mild. So looking at data back from 1857, I did my PhD actually on this topic, I can say that actually there was a bond bubble in 1980, which led to a market performance of around -12% to -13%. And this happened after the Volcker war to inflation. So Volcker was the Fed president who was facing a daunting project of fighting inflation for the U.S. So he started raising interest rates, and then the bond market crash happened. So what could lead to a bond market bubble and subsequent burst? So there are typically two triggers. The first is that very sharp monetary policy tightening, a tightening which is happening at the pace not priced in by markets, and or a spike in inflation, which, of course, leads investors to a repricing of government bonds. But as we see inflation under control in most of the key regions, in US, in Europe, actually it's actually subdued, at least until end of 2017, 2018. And for US, we see a hike in 2017. Then the probability of bond bubble is actually quite remote.
Next, we put the question to Chris Miller, Executive Director in the UBS Wealth Management CIO Global Investment Office in Zurich. Could Greenspan be right?
I think it depends how you actually define what he means by bubble. So I would say probably not in the standard definition, because I think there it implies, you know, most people use the word bubble when they're thinking about maybe unrealistic expectations of where returns are going to go into the future. And I don't think that's the case in the bond market today. I think people know that there are lower than historical returns to be expected.
Well, let me ask you then about his concerns more broadly, because it was interesting listening to what he had to say. And he repeated this refrain, which actually he's made before, certainly over the last couple of years, that he worries, particularly if we look to the US, about a period of stagflation ahead. Is there any way that the market is, I don't know, missing oncoming inflation? Or do you think that it is priced in?
I think that the chances of that are relatively low. Like you said, the market itself doesn't seem to think that that's the way things are going to go. And people like himself and many other people have been calling for higher inflation for the last 5 or 6 years now with no signs of it picking up. And furthermore, I think that the Fed has a lot of powers at its disposal to kind of keep inflation at bay if it does seem like things are going in that direction.
On this point around stagflation, Greenspan is certainly worried the US is entering or about to enter a period of stagflation. Is the market missing oncoming inflation, or is this priced in adequately? Francesco Mandela, again.
Forecasting inflation is becoming really a very difficult exercise in recent times. There are a number of factors beyond the usual suspects for explaining and projecting inflations which are coming to place. First of all, inflation, we believe that is under control. We don't expect any sharp increase over the next 12 months at least, and the typical oil prices increases that led to inflation surprises in the first half of the year seems to have died out. So we don't really see any trigger for inflation to register values above the market expectations at this point.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at how low interest rates influence this space and consider how the Fed is handling things. What about interest rates then next? Greenspan recently said, by any measure, real long-term interest rates are much too low and therefore unsustainable. Is there anything to that, according to Chris Miller?
I think there's a grain of truth in that. As the Fed winds down their balance sheet, I think long-term interest rates will go up to a certain extent. I guess the question then is, how much do they go up and how quickly do they go up? The way he's talking, it seems like he thinks they're going to go up very quickly and by quite a bit. And I don't think that that will be the case. I think that, as I said, the Fed will probably proceed very cautiously. And I think rates should go up in kind of a controlled manner.
If we're discussing long-term interest rates, does Pim Fox consider that? Essentially, it's a similar deal to the bond bubble. In other words, not something, in Pim's view, that we necessarily need to worry about?
Okay, so why are interest rates low? Interest rates are low because there are ready buyers of debt that yields very little. So you have, for example, the European Central Bank has an active program to go out bonds. Well, this is not about a kumbaya moment. There are people in the market who are very ready and willing and able to sell those bonds to the European Central Bank, which means if you always have a ready buyer for something, what's that going to do to the price? You're going to have a floor underneath it, because if no one else buys them, you go, oh, well, you know, it's like that old TV commercial, you know, let Joey try it. You know, if there's always going to be someone there that's willing to buy in the shape of Mario Draghi or even the U.S. Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, or that puts a floor on a price. And what that does is that suppresses the natural instincts of the market, because it's like you have this big 800-pound gorilla over here who constantly needs to be fed. So you're going to produce as many bananas as possible. So, you know, I understand the argument about this, you know, that rates are historically low. They are. But so what? I mean, I don't understand, like, what that leads anyone to say. Just because they're low now, that means they can't stay low forever. If you had followed that advice going back, let's say, even to the aughts, right, you would have lost a huge boatload of money because bonds have been a great investment. The more nervous, the more excited, and the more worried people become, the more they buy what they consider to be safe assets, and that's U.S. Treasury. Those are bonds and, you know, sovereign debt of European nations. So as long as there's a buyer, there's always going to be a seller. And so I don't know. Maybe Alan Greenspan can turn off the printing presses, but I have a feeling that he can't.
And what does Francesco Mandelar make of this issue around low long-term rates?
These low long-term interest rates are extremely low for any standard measure. That's true, which means that prices of government bonds are high. So, but this, in our opinion, reflects the typical demand and supply of bonds.
Chris Miller has some more interesting observations on the monetary policy side. In those terms, what of particular import is ahead?
Just the usual, just what the Fed is signaling when they're hiking. We anticipate another hike at the end of the year. They probably will continue to hike maybe 4 times a year with maybe a pause at some point when they make the announcement to unwind, to start unwinding their balance sheet.
And on the stagflation side specifically, Chris adds this.
On the stagflation point, you could also make the argument that the stagflation case that everybody's looking at, I guess, or that Greenspan was thinking about was back in his prime, back in the 70s, right? That was a very different scenario than what he's talking about right now. That was supply side driven by the oil markets, OPEC. And also back then, I think that the Fed did not have the same understanding of the power of monetary policy and how to use it correctly that they do today. For those reasons, I think that the chances of encountering something like stagflation are diminished.
And a brief word on the monetary policy side from Francesco Mandelar. What's ahead?
We don't expect a sharp monetary policy tightening in the near future from either the Fed or the ECB. We don't see a significant rise in yields. And so we forecast for now the 10-year U.S. Treasury yields at 2.5% for the next 12 months and the 10-year bond yield at 0.6 in the next 12 months. Therefore, limited risk of sharp repricing.
So why then do people allow themselves to fall into the kind of fears that former Fed Chair Alan Greenspan's been articulating in Chris Miller's view?
People are colored by their experiences to a certain extent. That was probably, it was a very traumatic time period for the U.S. to go through that. And I think for a lot of people who lived through that, one of their key priorities is to try to avoid something like that. I think most people would agree something like that is possible. It's just a matter of what probability you assign to it. And I would say I think it's natural maybe that somebody who lived through something like that might assign a higher probability than somebody who did not.
And that's Chris Miller bringing us to the end of this 149th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.